Don't you know we're talking about a revolution sounds like a whisper. Don't you know we're talking about a revolution sounds like a whisper. While they're standing in the welfare lines, crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment lines, sitting around waiting for a promotion. Don't you know, talking about a revolution sounds. Poor people gonna rise up and get their share. Poor people gonna rise up and take what's there. Don't you know you better run, 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 run. Oh, I said you better run, 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 run. Cause finally the tables are starting to turn. Talking about the revolution.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome to the French Connections Tuesday edition. Today's date is the 11th day of July 2006. My name is Daryl Bradford Smith, and it's great to have you here with me today. As usual, ladies and gentlemen, we try to bring you the most provocative and most interesting and most news-filled and information-filled interviews that we can find. We've done Richard Doughty, we've done Chuck Butler, we've had several people on regarding the price of gold and where it's going and why it's going up. And today we've got somebody, a very interesting gentleman, who has been at the forefront of fighting back against a group who he believes, and they believe, and this person, I believe, has been manipulating the price of gold for a very long time in order to keep artificial rates of currencies inflated. And he's the president and founder, one of the founders of GATA. And GATA is in a Gold Antitrust Action Committee. He's had both court cases, that one of them, we'll talk about the court cases, but court cases as well as battles in the press over the last several years trying to fight the gold cartel into actually allowing gold to float at its just price, at its real price. And we are beginning to see some of the result of gold becoming a free-floating commodity once again, because, ladies and gentlemen, we both know gold is more than just a commodity. It is also a store of value, and it has been money for time immemorial, all the way up until somebody in America decided that that wasn't going to be the case anymore. Well, guess what, guys? Somebody is not in charge of making that decision, and so we're going to go right to the source for this. His name is Bill Murphy. Bill, are you with me?
I am, Daryl. Great to be here.
Great to have you with me, Bill. You know what? This GATA group that you've got, you want to explain it to the listeners so that they have an idea of what it is you do and have been doing?
Sure. We formed the Gold Antitrust Action Committee in January of 1999, myself and the editor of a daily newspaper in the States, Chris Powell, and to expose the manipulation of the gold price by a bunch of bullion banks like Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan Chase, and the BIS, Bank for International Settlements, the International Monetary Fund, the U.S. Treasury, U.S. Fed, and so on. And we've been at it all this time, and I'd like to think that we've made tremendous progress, and we'll get into it later, but I think we've affected the gold price dramatically over this past year.
Well, I'm you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't there a period of time that that the London fix would be made by a man deciding what it would be? Wasn't that part of the Rothschild banking group there? They would go into a room and say, well, today gold's going to be, $275 or something, and then they would actually fix the gold price at their musings.
Well, they still do, and this is fair play. It's a different kind of fixing. There's a London AM fix and PM fix, and I don't know, there's five, six, seven groups that get together, and what they do is they get the buy, it's a physical market, and they get the buy orders from all over the world, and they get the sell orders, and they match them up.
Mm-hmm.
And the PM fix is used for 90% of the gold deals that are done all over the world. That price is the one that's used to price contracts. So, ironically, Rothschilds got out of it a year or two ago after being in it for, you know, hundreds of years. But that's different.
Well, why would that have been? If they were that important in that group,
well, they got out before the market took off. And then, and what I'm heard about it, there's very private people. They know what's coming. I think that they weren't a part of the gold cartel themselves. They knew exactly what was going on. They knew it was coming to an end, and I think that they realized there can be some problems in the gold market as far as defaults are concerned in the years ahead, and they just wanted nothing to do with it.
Okay.
I wouldn't be surprised if they're not then all, not only that, I that they're heavy buyers in their own right, just very quietly.
Well, you know, what we've got right now in GATA, your group, you've actually launched a couple of court challenges, and can you talk a little bit about those efforts and what happened with them?
Sure. Reg Howe, one of our people, all by himself, a former Boston trial lawyer, sued the entire gold cartel in Boston federal court. The judge dismissed the case without saying one negative thing about what Reg said. He just said he didn't believe Reg had the proper standing, and it should be a gold company, and he said you can't sue the United States government. And then so what happened was Blanchard Coyne and New Orleans did the same thing, except they specifically sued Barrick Gold and J.P. Morgan Chase. That case, as a result of that case, Barrick said they would not increase their hedging ever again.
We're going to talk about what hedging is for the people in a little while because, you know, we do have a very well-educated listening audience here. So when we do talk about some of these things that, you know, we can be a little bit a little higher level than just the, you know, the remedial here. I do want to, you know, let everybody know that as this thing develops, people are going to start seeing the real gold price representative of years of inflation that was never priced in and years of under pricing in order to. Well, why were they underpricing it in the first place, Bill? What is your take on the underpricing part?
Well, the gold is a really tiny market, but its meaning is significant for markets and especially U.S. financial markets. What happens every time the gold price shoots way up? People talk about inflation, they talk about crisis, they talk about problems. It is bad theoretically for U.S. stock market, U.S. interest rates, the dollar, and so on. So a low price accrues to the benefit of the Wall Street crowd and the banks and the United States government. A rising gold price is, people use it, even though I don't really look at it that way, as something's wrong. And so we believe that this price rigging began under Robert Rubin, who this was the essence of his strong dollar policy. Your people have heard about this, quote, strong dollar policy.
Yeah.
For years, I've talked to people about how they did it, and nobody gave me an answer.
And wasn't there Larry Summers had a little play in this? He was actually one of the persons that designed the double posting debacle that we're now starting to unwind here, uncover. You want to go into what they've done with some of this recording of this asset? I mean, because we're going to go on to this too. I want everybody to know there is a video available that goes into a conference that you had. You want to tell us about the conference, and then we'll go into
sure.
to that double posting stuff and get the people's knowledge wrapped around some of those items as well.
Well, we believe this. We had a conference, GATA did, in Dawson City in the Yukon, way up near the Arctic Circle, on August 8th and 9th of last year. We had 100 delegates from 14 countries to expose the manipulation of the gold price. It was an incredible conference, and the most important part of it was Andrei Baikov, an economic consultant to President Putin of Russia, showed up. He said it was the best conference he'd ever been to. 2 days later, the gold price exploded and went up $300 in the following 7 months, with the dollar and oil doing almost nothing. So we believe that that conference changed everything, and people can view a trailer of it by going to www.goldrush21.com, and you can see a two-minute trailer, and then you can get the DVD and the highlight film if people are so inclined.
What is the price for that DVD?
It's $20 U.S.
Okay. Well, now there's one gentleman. I believe he's an economist or possibly a lawyer. I don't really know. In the trailer, it doesn't specify, but he talks about using gold as a dual posted asset on their balance sheet. Now, could you explain what he was talking about?
Oh yeah, it was James Turk, who's a former Chase banker, and ironically enough, the IMF just came out a couple of months ago with their own paper saying the central banks are double counting their gold. The IMF themselves, after they lied to everybody about what they were doing, and got it caught them years ago. And what this means is, we believe the central banks have half the gold they say they have, less than half. They say they have around 32,000 tons. We believe it now is well under 16,000 tons. The difference is this double counting stuff is no longer there and so on, and gold that's been lent out, swapped out, that they haven't accounted for. And we believe they're running out of ammunition to keep the gold price down, and that's why the gold price is taking off.
So I believe that goes against American law, does it not? I mean, if this is a public asset, how do they? here's a can of worms. How the heck do they get away with generally accepted accounting principles? You know, the GAAP principles are pretty strict. I mean, you can't do that legally in a firm. Why would the government get away with doing that?
Well, first of all, gold has not been audited in the United States since 1955 during the Eisenhower administration, an independent audit. That is astounding in and of itself, and that ought to tell the story. Two, the law says we can't sell gold without congressional approval, but it doesn't get into lending or swapping gold. A number of years ago, we caught them again, and where they the gold at West Point, there was 1,700 tons of gold stored there for the U.S., the West Point Depository.
Yeah.
And they renamed it from gold reserve to custodial gold. And they didn't rename anything else, just these 700 tons. Well, what does custodial mean? It means you're taking care of it for somebody else. We believe they swapped the gold with Germany, and that gold was fed into the market. And so technically they haven't sold it, but it actually has been sold, and or it's out on loan, and we have to get it back.
Well, it's like loaning a cigarette, isn't it, Bill? How do you get a cigarette back after you loan one to somebody?
Well, the problem is, it's exactly right in the sense that it's actually been sold, and there right now there's a 1,500 to 1,800 ton annual supply-demand deficit in the market. Over the past many years, that was met by the central bank gold. That's what the gold was needed to keep the price down, and they're hitting the wall. It's gone. So they can get little tranches here and there. They don't have it, and they can't get it back because of the deficit. If they try to get it, even part of it back, gold will double in price in a matter of weeks.
Because they'd have to go on the open market to buy it back.
That's correct, and
yeah.
there's no other place to get it. Meanwhile, mine supply is going down, demand's going up. These people are in a real squeeze play, and the gold price is going to go bananas.
Well, you know, let's talk a minute here about another type of carry trade called derivatives. And we know that there have been some sleight of hand done with derivatives on gold gold bullion and in these swaps. We're talking about, the country's talking about a $24 trillion derivatives monster is what it's been described as. How does that relate to the gold carry trade as well? In other words, are we looking at a financial bomb going off in America?
Yes, we gave a paper in 2001. Which can be called the Gold Derivative Banking Crisis, which we presented to the Speaker of the House, Dennis Hastert. I gave it to every member of the Senate Banking Committee, House Banking Committee. We met with the Subcommittee on Domestic Monetary Affairs, and we believe a crisis is coming in this area. And it's more than the gold price, because when the gold price goes nuts, what they're afraid of, because most of these derivatives are in the interest rate market.
Yeah.
And when the thing that blows things up, like when is volatility. They're petrified of volatility. That's why you haven't seen much volatility in the U.S. dollar, U.S. Stock market. We haven't had more than a 2% correction in 4 years, 3 years. It's why nothing hardly moves too much, because they are now petrified that a derivative bomb will go off because of excessive volatility. They have no idea.
Long-term capital was that company that they had to bail out, and that was relative to the size of the derivatives market. That bailout was rather small, but it almost upstaged the entire economic system in the world, didn't it?
That's right, and that's before their use of derivatives and exploded. And it's frightening now, and that what could happen. And you know, nobody knows, because it's unprecedented to the extent of which these derivatives are being employed, and there's not too many controls on them.
Well, now let's go one step further here. I mean, you know, if these things don't happen in a vacuum, that somebody did this. It happened under somebody's watch. When did most of the shenanigans begin, in your view, and who was in charge other than Rubin when the shenanigans was really taking place?
Well, in, it was 1994 or something, Greenspan, chairman of the Fed, and William McDonough, head of the New York Federal Reserve, for the first time in U.S. history, went onto the board of directors of the BIS. And I believe that's where it was initially started. And then, meanwhile, Rubin was getting ready to make gold the essence of his strong dollar policy. As I started to say earlier, ask people, what did the United States do to make a strong dollar policy? Not one person told me. And I said, the answer is, it was the rigging of the gold price. That's when it all kicked in, and it was to affect all these markets.
That's right. Okay. And the BIS, for the listeners, again, is the Bank of International Settlement, and that's in Switzerland.
Basel, Switzerland, yes.
Now the Swiss, they've been out of everybody's purview for a very long time, and yet we know that they're a big center for banking and gold and money and transfer and the rest. How do they play into this other than just being the host country of the Bank of International Settlement? Zurich is really the quiet banking center of the world, is it not?
No, that's true. And the Swiss made a horrendous mistake dumping 1,700s of gold. We think for political reasons. Half their gold about $200 ago, $300 ago. They dumped it at the bottom, and they made themselves, the Swiss are known for their shrewdness and so on, and it was a terrible mistake. We said so at the time, and their citizens are going to pay the price for some political agenda. It made no sense then, and it looks stupid now.
Well, you see, so let's talk now. I mean, we're talking about a $634.5 an ounce gold price right now. When this begins to unwind in a larger sense, what are we talking about in gold price? I mean, we've got a lot of. You see, here's the interesting thing about the dollar. It's been inflated through deficit spending. It's been inflated through trade deficits. In other words, we're bringing in more than we're sending, and we've also been printing money like it's going out of style. But we're not the only central bank doing that. I mean, the Europeans are got their presses going 24/7 and. And the renminbi has really been churning out the yuan. And what in the heck do we what do we do here? And who's in the worst shape? And what price are we looking at in the dollar for gold?
Well, again, those are all factors for me. They all pale compared to the gold cartel and the physical market, which is what this is all about. As the physical market grows the gold cartel runs out of enough gold. Gold goes going to go bananas.
It's just going to be supply and demand issues.
And all this stuff about the rest of it. It's all important. Yes, a crashing dollar, which a lot of us think is coming, will be a big plus. All of them plus. The printing of the money was certainly a big plus. But the printing of the money's been going on for years, and nothing happened. But it's only going. If the gold cartel could have gold at 350, they would have it there. They can't.
Yeah.
And anyway, as far as the price goes, and what we say in the Gold Rush 21 DVD, that I'm looking at $3,000 to $5,000 an ounce. And by the way, so does Adam Fleming, a marvelous man who used to be the chairman of Harmony Gold, now the chairman of Rich Gold, who came all the way from England to be a speaker. He believes that's where the price of gold is going to.
Well, what it looks like to me, too, and this is an interesting thing, we went off the gold standard in 72, and that was under pressure. In fact, I'm in France right now. It was the French who caused the American government to actually convert its financial system away from gold because they demanded gold instead of the American dollar back in 1972.
Yep.
And, the French upstaged everybody. They turned the apple cart over on everyone. I'm wondering right now, if we were to try to bring our financial system back in line with gold, it would not be a $5,000 gold price. We'd have a $35,000 gold price, wouldn't we?
Yeah, you're right. I don't get into that because all God is fighting for is a free gold market. I don't that kind of stuff is. It's above my pay scale, and a lot of the people that spoke at Gold Rush 21 could talk to you about that for hours, but I wouldn't even know where to go with that one. But I'd like to say that following Gold Rush 21, the President Putin was seen holding a gold bar, and I don't think there's been since the French, since de Gaulle, a head of state has ever done that in all those years, and that happened following our conference. I mean, it was incredible. He was just holding this gold bar, and he said, we're going to increase our gold reserves.
Well, he's not the only country doing it either. What other countries have been in the market right now putting pressure? I know the Iranians have been out there trying to buy gold. And
absolutely.
I know there's several Gulf states that are reinflating their gold reserves. Who else is doing it as far as you know?
The Chinese. We know that. The South Koreans in terms of a government. Let me see. Who else? Those are the ones that I'm sure of.
Well, you know, you have a website aside from the GATA group that you're a president of. That's called the Metropole Cafe. Am I not correct?
That's a good one to bring up since we're talking with you in France here. Yes, it was designed to be like the old days in the Paris cafes, where the Hemingways came, the Toulouse-Lautrec, Kiki, and all these people get together in the cafe to talk about what was really happening, which they couldn't get, and that's Hemingway. That's why they all met there. So the whole site is based on that theme.
Well, so if they go to metropolecafe.com?
Yeah, www.lemetropolecafe.com. L-E-M-E-T-R-O.
Ah, Le Metropole.
Yeah, lemetropolecafe.com.
Okay, and so what do you do there? You discuss some of these political issues, some of the gold investment issues, and others like that?
Well, I would say 75% of it's 70% of it's gold focus and precious metals focus, but there's all kinds of stuff that comes up there and about the markets and some political issues, but it's mostly about the markets and so on.
Well, what kind of you said you wanted to stay with, and you know I have a lot of other efforts that I've been putting out, and we're not going to discuss those today, and I accept that kind of restriction on what we do here, but there are other implications for this gold problem being exposed in the world, and you've caught some negative heat from people saying, "What are you trying to do? Ruin the economy of America?" Well, there is a potential for this to really sink the economy of several countries. Am I not wrong in this?
Well, yeah, I think we've not only been rigging the gold price lately. We've been talking about the plunge protection team in the stock market, and there's the Caribbean pirates that are influencing the bond market. And what they've done is make our economy here quiet. It would be the envy of Stalin and Lenin. I mean, it's a managed economy with use of derivatives and deceptive techniques to keep the economy quiet, copacetic, and looking like it's okay. So, and again, if the gold price goes bananas, everyone's going to say, like Chicken Little, something's wrong. Now, that doesn't have to be. I don't think we had oil price that didn't have the world fall apart, and the gold price today ought to be about $1,800. So it shouldn't be that way. They've made it that way. So, yes, what can happen is once they lose, since they've held this together with glue deceptively, when it starts to fall apart, people won't know what hit them, and I think you've got some debacles coming that are going to be quite tragic for a lot of American families.
I think you're right, and you know, I've always said much of the research I do, and I'm a research-based website, so the work that we do at French Connection is basic from what we find in our research. I always said that the problems that I think are coming for us are always going to be, if you follow the money and you go back to to finance, you're going to go to the root of the problem. And I think the gold issue has, for a long time, been one of the harbingers of that mess coming. And I'm wondering, Bill, what do you think the short and medium term price of gold is going to be? I know you can't be very specific because you don't have a crystal ball, but are you seeing the pressures build as we speak for the short term price? Or
absolutely. I mean, I think you'll see new all time highs this year quite easily. And gold is explosive. There is a 10,000 to 13,000 ton short position out there. Going back to the gold loans and swaps I was referring to. Short position.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, short position is somebody betting that gold is going to fall, not rise. So they're on the wrong side of that whole deal.
What it specifically means is that they have lent out the gold that they need to get back. In other words, they're short, meaning they've got it as an asset on their books, but it's not there. I mean,
it's not there.
So if just a portion of that tries to be covered, the gold price goes nuts. So
is there a price point where that has to be covered?
No, but as it goes up and they become more offside, various parties in this that are short, and they're not all gold cartel people, they're different hedgers, gold producers, and people not a part of it, they have their force to cover. There's a lot of derivatives written with these things, what they call long-term option dates. They kick in, and it's complicated. But the higher the price goes, the more urgent it is that some of them are covered, some are forced to cover. So it's a staggering development that people aren't aware of, except the Gata camp.
Now let me ask you this too. Not all miners and producers of gold were created equal here. We've got some of the bigger ones that are hedged up to the eyeballs, aren't they?
Yeah, you've got Barrick Gold, who we've gone after for years and made their lives miserable. Anglo Gold, which has been a friend of Gata, supported Gata, even though the big hedger Bobby Gobb, so their CEO, is a good man. You've got Newcrest, which is mining in Australia, which is in deep trouble. These people are way offside. So far, Barrick's hedge book is $2 billion underwater or something. $3 billion. It's outrageous. So
in other words, when you're being an investor, see, many people may or may not go to the Metropole Cafe. I want to let them know right now, if they are going to get into gold stocks, they're not all created equal. Do your homework. Is that good advice?
No, absolutely. I wouldn't touch Barrick with a 10-foot pole. They could blow up at any time in the future. Most of the gold producers are not big hedgers. It's the irony is that the biggest hedgers, the Anglo Gold, the Barrick, and these people, are members of the leaders in the World Gold Council, which is the most useless organization in the history of mankind.
Well, we've got a company that I've been looking at that's unhedged called Gammon Lakes Resources, a Canadian company. And I'll tell you something. I looked at the way they've done their business. They are clean as a hound's tooth. And, boy, are they knocking the tar out of people. And here's the interesting thing, and I'm not using them for a specific example for my own benefit, but rather to let people know that if you have a company out there that is not hedged and is doing good business, you're going to see prices go crazy. And if you take a look at this Gammon Lake Resources, they've gone, in the last month and a half, about 120% up. That's astonishing. I mean, that's growth like frightening even.
Well,
and I think it has something to do with exactly what you're talking about, where a lot of these companies that are doing these kind of business, if they're unhedged and they're being quality investments, they're going to benefit from this. But again, like you said, Barrick, they've got pricing out into the future that is held back by their hedges.
Well, I know Gammon Lake. It's a wonderful success story, and I would like to mention my favorite, which is EQ Silver, and I'm doing specifically because it's exploding. They may be the biggest had the biggest discovery in Mexico. But the fellow who was the CEO is a wonderful guy, and he's French.
Yeah,
Michel Roy, and it's something. If you like Gammon Lake, you want to take a look at EQ Silver.
Well, the reason I brought him up is because the chart knocked me off my chair. I looked and I said, "Holy smokes! In 6 weeks, that's a scary looking chart for people. If it's going for the stars, it's really weird." And anyway, are you better off in the mining stocks or in the bullion market or in the coin market if you're an investor?
Well, it's good to have both. I mean, I'm mostly in the shares and in the smaller golds, the gold exploration companies, the smaller producers. But having gold bullion is a wonderful thing to have, and they're both good. Of course, you get much more leverage in some of these smaller golds. I believe that these exploration golds, there's going to be a gold rush like never seen before, and these smaller good gold companies you're talking about are going to go bananas. It's going to make the NASDAQ bubble look like nothing, and then this one will be a real event versus that was just almost fraud.
So if you find yourself a good solid company like Gammon, like the silver company you mentioned, it's a buy hold kind of situation. Just buy it and understand that you're going to receive some great rewards in that market.
This is the investment opportunity of a lifetime. I've been in it for 5 years now. I've absolutely made a small fortune for myself. I'm staying with it. This is the very beginning.
Wow. Well, you know, I'm really glad you came on board with us today. There may be another time in the future. We'd like to sit down and possibly have a three-way conversation with someone else that you brought to your Gold Rush 21, because I do want to get into some of the more technical areas of this. with maybe one of the researchers, if possible. But what I wanted to do is introduce my listeners to this subject and let them know the political ramifications as well as the efforts that you've made, and give them a general overview. Because what I believe is this is the beginning of people starting to understand just what's happened to our dollar and what's happened to our currencies worldwide, and just where we're heading in this short and medium term in America and in Europe. And I thought it would be important just to introduce the subject. And what people do that listen to the French Connection do, Bill, they begin researching things that we bring to them. And when they get up to speed on this research, and I've got a bunch of questions for you, can we invite you back?
Absolutely, Dale. I'd be an honor.
Well, you know, if you go to our website, we've got lots of research there. We don't shoot from the hip. We try to keep it clean and make sure we do a good job of the things that we claim. And I think you've done the same thing. I've looked into your stuff, Bill, and I'm proud to say that I'm standing behind your conclusions here in a very large way. I've been saying this to the people for about a year now, that gold was the place to get yourself, and silver, because the silver market is also quite explosive. And in both cases, is there anything that you'd like to leave the listeners with before we go right now?
Yeah, just one quick thing, and that if they can go to also to www.gata.org, you can look up our stuff. But, you know, it's interesting, say, whether the market's manipulated or not, and, of course, the mainstream gold world fights us on this one. But it's ridiculous because it's on the public record. The Bank for International Settlement said a year ago they managed the gold price. The Australian Central Bank said the same thing, and so on. So all these things are really a public record. Alan Greenspan said central banks show lease gold and increasing quantity should the price rise. It's not really anything to debate, yet the people fight us on. I don't know why, but I think Chevron Mining, if your Credit Agricole over there in France, came out with a 56-page report which has got us correct. So it's exciting. It's all there.
Do you have any of those documents available on your site, or would you be willing to put a link to where we can get them so that the people could do their own research?
Yeah, we've just
Credit Agricole's report. In fact, I could probably have somebody translate it from French into English if it needs it.
Now we've just done over our GATA site. It will be up on www.gata.org. That link, we were just shifting it over. They can go there, but it'll be up shortly. But at the Matisse table, at the Metropole Cafe site, people can go back over 6 years' worth of stuff to do their homework.
Can you get a short-term membership to your cafe, or could I get one I can bring news to my people?
Well, I'll get a hold of me, and I'll just set that up for you professionally. But, yeah, people can check in for a two-week free trial, and they can look it over for 2 weeks, and then let me know. Then they can sign in if they think it's of value to them.
Well, you know something, Bill, I got to tell you something. This is in some ways, it's very sad. Because there's going to be a lot of people swept up in some terrible events, I think, and if the currency does go the way it may go. At the same time, there are opportunities for people who are heads up on this, and I do want to thank you for bringing this news to our listeners. And I want to ask you, you know, in the future, if we could grab a couple of maybe the specialists that you had, and they could add some punctuation to some of these issues that we've discussed today.
Absolutely, there'll be no problem whatsoever.
Well, thanks again, Bill, for coming on The French Connection, and I'll be talking to you probably after the show here.
All right, Daryl. Thank you.
Thanks, Bill.
Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Bill Murphy from the Le Metropole Café, as well as the GATA Group. He is the president of the GATA Group. It is an antitrust group trying to define reasons why the governments of the Western world have been manipulating the price of gold. And, in fact, ladies and gentlemen, this is not a debatable fact anymore. The truth about these manipulations is coming out from all quarters, and what you're seeing now is almost a resignation by the gold market to the future price. In other words, you're watching it go up, and there's going to be exponential rises in this market. The effects it's going to have on the U.S. currency are going to be dramatic. It's also going to affect the euro in dramatic ways. In fact, that the whole face of the financial world is probably going to be shifted as a result of these truths. So, you know, it's up to you. If you've got a couple of dollars even, I mean, you know, anyone can get into gold through the shares in the market. You can buy $13 shares, or you can buy gold at, you know, single ounces per month and just throw a coin away. I mean, there's an entry level in this investment for everyone. I mean, there's small amounts and large amounts you can get involved in. But the fact is, unless you do get involved, you're going to find a terrible erosion in your purchasing power. The inflation rate in America is astronomical, and it's not being represented properly. They're telling you it's 2%, 1%, 3%. That's nonsense, ladies and gentlemen. I've been telling you it's nonsense, and I told you this crisis that we're going to have is going to be precipitated by financial causes. And please, do your due diligence. Look into the things we've claimed today. Go to that website and make your decision for yourself. But it needs to be done. Anyway, this is Daryl Bradford Smith saying thank you very much for being with me today, and be well, ladies and gentlemen. Bye-bye.